Welcome to this week's Big Boat interview. Today we're joined by Alan Gruber, CEO of Ilysia Residences AG, the company behind one of the most ambitious maritime projects ever conceived. While 323-metre vessels have been built before, a 320-metre residential superyacht community has not. Ilysia is reimagining what life at sea can be, a landmark project designed by Espen Aino that will circumvent the world and combine private ownership with world-class hospitality, wellness, education and exploration on a truly global scale. It's a bold vision that sits at the intersection of superyachting, real estate and luxury lifestyle, and one that is already reshaping conversations about how and where the world's wealthiest individuals may choose to live and travel in future. Under Gruber's leadership, the project has moved at a pace and has just reached a significant milestone, with construction now officially moving to China. We discuss this decision to relocate to China merchants, the challenges of delivering a vessel this size and complexity to ultra-luxury standards, and how sustainability, advanced technology and philanthropy are being embedded into the project from the start. Alan, really lovely to have you on the podcast today with us.
Thank you. Real pleasure to be with you again, and really an honor to be with Boat International.
Great. Well, I mean, let's get started. So you're now responsible for delivering one of the most complex maritime projects ever conceived. So what experience have you drawn on your background that prepares you for that kind of challenge?
Yes, indeed. It's certainly a generational project. It's been a long time in the making. I'll get to my background in one second, but again, I want to reinforce that it's an enormous team effort. I'm, first of all, very proud of the team I have surrounding me. I've really selected some of the very best people, most accomplished in the world, that also make me look good as well and our company look good. But I'm also very proud of the partnerships we have. You know, we have some of the world's most respected companies in several areas of this endeavor that will also lend their knowledge and expertise to get this team effort underway. In my case, I come from a very strong hospitality background, then went on to corporate degrees with my business degrees, and had the great fortune to not only work in some of the finest hotel companies in the world in my career, but also work for some of the finest marine companies in the world over time, even as a crew member on board for several years, and understood what it is like to live at sea and be a crew member away from family and loved ones. So I come with a very deep understanding of what it means to actually execute and be a crew member, along with many members of my team as well. And then I had the great fortune to work for some companies in the corporate entity to be on the strategic side, on the visionary side, on the development and execution side. And I think it's a combination of all of that coming together. We are essentially an amalgamation of four different industries. We are what you would see in the finest resort luxury properties in the world. We are structured as a private club community that is more familiar with private club management around the world. We have the fit, finish, and look and feel of one of the finest super yachts of the world. And we have the scale of a mid-sized cruise ship. And the knowledge needs to be from all of those industries in order for this to work. And I've been very privileged in my career. I've worked in all of those industries myself, but also I have members of my team that straddle at least two or three of each of those industries involved in the company.
Okay. So Ilysia is described as a residential yacht rather than a cruise ship, although there's always debate over that online. But what's the fundamental difference in your mind?
So the first thing I want to say is our company, and particularly myself and our team, I have enormous respect for the cruise industry. We never look down on them, because many of us worked in that industry and they have a lot to bring. There's a lot about regulation, innovation that is, in my view, much stricter on that side because of the number of people that travel in that industry. There's more scrutiny of that industry. And so although we are registered as a motor yacht, we have voluntarily chosen to follow a lot of the regulations that govern the cruise and passenger industry, because whatever is stricter, we wanted to be part of that. And we need to create good relationships with that industry, because we will recruit a lot of people from that industry because there's a lot of knowledge needed because of the size and scale. On the other hand, The client that we serve are predominantly, actually 50% of all our buyers are either current or former yacht owners. Their expectation is much more akin to the customization, the personalization that is found in the yachting industry. So I believe we straddle both those industries. Yes, we don't call ourselves, we don't say we are better than the yachting industry. We're not better than the cruise industry. We form a very unique niche between those two industries in which I think the time will come. We're actually talking to our partner, Lloyd's Registry, that is working with us on classification. Time will come as this industry develops. I think there will be many more residential vessels in the future, but I think they will straddle two versions. They will either be built on a cruise ship platform with residences on board. The world is very similar to that aspect. I was there for 7 years as chief operating officer. But then there is us. We want to build to yacht specification, design, and standards, hence the reason for appointing Espanino. And the design, the look, the feel, the fairing on board, everything will be a custom. The look, the feel, all the materials on board will be right in line with what you would see on most of the finest super yachts of the world. And I think the time will come for a different designation. I think when more and more people get in, that we will go away from just an MY designation and an MV. This is a personal opinion, by the way. And MV to potentially creating two other classifications, maybe an RY and an RV. If you're a built-to-yacht specification and standard, but residential, a residential yacht would be appropriate. And if you built on a cruise ship platform with residences, maybe an RV, a resident vessel. I think that at some point the industry may consider it. So in other words, to keep the differentiation, because I know there are some people that look at us and go, well, you're not really a yacht. Look at your scale and size. You're not a single-owner motor yacht. We know that. We hear that as well. But our view was always, we have so much connections to the yachting industry, as I said, not only through our clients, but most of our outfitters that will be working to fully finish an outfit are the same outfitters that work at some of the most accomplished super yacht builders throughout Europe are all designated to be part of our project, along with Espanino in the lead. So I guess in a long way to explain, we are different from a cruise ship, that in the sense that a cruise ship has set itineraries that traditionally are, you know, 3 day, 4 day, 1 week, maybe 2 week itineraries, and some do world cruises for 2-3 months of the year. We don't have that. We constantly circumnavigate the globe. All bespoke concierge-driven travel, which would be much more akin to how the yachts handle things, including the food and beverage, the restaurants on board. Everything is personalized. The medical, the health, the wellness on board is customized to the individual. We are customizing to each family, each individual on board is the biggest differentiator. And the quality and the service and the number of ratio of crew to guest is much more in line with what you would find on a yacht.
Yeah. What would you say would be the typical guest or the typical resident?
We're seeing the change. You know, it doesn't go without mention that I was for many years, I had the great honor the great honor and privilege for working for the world, the first of its kind to attempt this. That was the real pioneer. It took a lot of guts, a lot of determination. You know, we follow in their footsteps. I constantly pay homage to them. It was one of the greatest opportunities in my life to learn firsthand what worked, what didn't work. At the time, the stereotype was more, it's this kind of thing is for the retirees that have the time and the disposable income to travel the world. They have the time. And that was partially true, actually was mostly true, because the age group, when I was with the world, the average age was probably around 68. We did have some families in their 40s and 50s, but mostly 60s and 70s, either retired or partially retired. That being said, that was during a time when you didn't have the kind of satellite technology we have today. So communications around the world were not as established. And I think we come out of the post-COVID era where people first saw what it was like to be restricted. You know, people were locked down in many countries around the world for 2-3 years. You know, people had that yearning for travel again. What we have seen is a dramatic drop in age group. I understand that the world is also dropping quite dramatically over the years. In our case, the average age has now dropped to 51, with many of our families in their 30s and 40s. And I think it's because that we have global satellite communication, so people can still be active in business while they're traveling and exploring. They can also bring their children on board, because we have schooling facilities on board to keep their kids still active, and so they can, you know, take them out of school for 2-3 years, adventure around the world, and still keep up with their schooling. And that has been very well received by many of our community members.
So younger, more adventurous, connected.
Yes.
And probably, you know, don't want to be weighed down for the hassle of owning their own individual yacht, you would say.
Yes, indeed. We do form that part. That's why we do have quite a lot of yacht owners. You know, having your own yacht speaks to the ultimate freedom. There's no doubt about that, you know. I think we open up a door for the yacht owner that, you know, sometimes you see that many yachts are not used year-round. Some owners don't want to put it up in charter. So many times the yachts sit in a marina for several months. You end up dealing with a crew that is then working on a yacht that's in a marina for several months. And human beings by nature want to advance. They want to advance in their education. I'm talking from the crew's perspective. And so there's an inherent high turnover sometimes that the yachting industry experiences, which is frustrating to the owner to come on and constantly see a changing crew. I think we provide stability because even if the owner of a particular residence is not on board, their friends and family can use it. And even if nobody's on board, the other residences are occupied. So our crew are constantly occupied. We're constantly traveling. And because we're no longer dealing with a yacht that might have 10 or 12 crew members or 20 crew members on board, we have over 300 crew members on board. So there's ability for the crew through training, development. They could start with us as a waiter and maybe go up and be restaurant manager and F&B director and go on to be the general manager on board. There is upward mobility to keep the crew engaged. For the resident owner, the shared ownership comes with a lot lower operating costs compared to single yacht ownership. The second thing is, you know, it can be quite lonely. You know, when you have your own yacht, you're constantly trying to get your friends and people to enjoy the usage with you. Sometimes you like being alone and private, but our residences are so large that if you seek privacy, you can retreat to your residence and you feel like you're the only one on board. But sometimes you see company. I saw this even on The World. Is the community come on board and they find like-minded people that share common interests. And so you can be as private as you want, but you can also share with like-minded people interests. In our case, we have everybody shares the same common purpose of travel.
Coming back, see, you say that there's low operating costs.
Yes.
For, you know, so there's less hassle.
Yes.
Than owning a yacht. You mentioned right at the beginning about freedom and the urge to explore and that the yacht will circumvent the world. Will the residents be able to have a say in where they go and how will that work?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, that is essential to the secret of operating this vessel, meaning we have extensive knowledge. We have incredible networks around the world. We can open up the world in a way that most people have never experienced. But if it was just left to us, that's only half the answer. The reality is our resident community are themselves highly accomplished people, very well traveled, and have incredible networks. And in many areas, their networks supersede ours. So we encourage them to be part of the itinerary planning. I can tell you 1/3 are just like, we're comfortable. Tell us where we're going. We're happy with everything. 1/3 are like more, hey, Alon, when you go to Japan, I might be American, but I built all my companies in Japan. I'm very connected there to government, to all kinds of network. When you go to Japan, please use me. I'd like to include my resources. And then we have some people that are very much into the itinerary means a lot. So they sit with us. And then where it happens is, how do you get 100 families to travel in the same direction? Well, because we plan the itineraries 2 to 3 years in advance, we get them to give all their feedback on where we're planning to go. We incorporate all, and we usually come up with 2 or 3 choices, and we have them vote. And the majority vote is the itinerary that goes into operation.
Okay, great. Okay, and coming back to, so it's still in the infancy of the project. How successful has it been? You've sold half the residences already, have you? Is that correct?
Or we have reservations for over 50% of the community, but we still have, to put it into perspective, for every 100 people that come to us and inquire, about 3% are qualified. The 3% of interest we currently have on our books is enough to sell out the entire vessel. So what people have been waiting for, the 50% on the reservation side has got more to do with the people that have already committed. we still have a much larger group beyond that. We're saying we want to wait till we know that the project is proceeding to the next phase, that the yard is secure. And we just recently made that announcement. And so now we are working with that part of our books to convert those people. We anticipated, like, our budget is conservative to say that we will sell out within the next 3 to 4 years maximum. The reality is we think that will happen within the next 18 months to 24 months maximum. So we will be well sold out long before we actually go into operation.
Brilliant. So tell me, you know, if I was a resident, tell me what an average day for a resident, they wake up in their apartment. What does their apartment look like? What would they do? Do they go down to, it wouldn't be a canteen, would it? I mean, how does it work?
It's the ultimate in choice. I mean, our motto in the company is live without boundaries, right? So we don't want to constrain anybody. It's, you know, get up when you want to get up. Go and eat where you want to eat and when you want to eat. It's really at your time. I mean, I can give you a day in the life, but it could be different for everybody. But let's just say what is possible. And I think that's the mind-blowing side of what we do. You could be waking up at sunrise and you could be going out on deck. All our residences, you know, the average residence size is around 2,500 square feet. That's the average. We have some up to 17,000 square feet in size. We have penthouses in the 6 to 10,000 square feet range. So very large terraces, many residences over 1,000, 2,000 square feet of terrace space. You go out on your terrace, you might wake up in the sunrise, you might go for a, you know, a private yoga class. We've got several areas to have breakfast, but you might go down to our area where we have this beautiful boulanger and food area where there's a coffee and bakery and a real nice active spot in the heart of the vessel to meet your neighbors, go down and have a coffee and a pastry. Then you might have booked an appointment that morning at the spa. Maybe we're in Antarctica at the time, or out in, let's just say we're in Greenland, and you've booked to go on one of the submarines that morning. So you and your family go on one of our submarines and you're under the ice for 2 hours and you're looking at polar bears from a completely different angle as they're swimming around and following seals under the ice. And then you come up at like mid-morning and you go and attend a lecture from marine biologists on what's going on with Greenland and the geopolitical situation. At lunchtime, we might have a very famous chef on board from Nuuk and a famous musician that is bringing the culture alive. And in the afternoon, you might visit your friends and decide to go have a game of paddle tennis. In the evening, you go out and you explore because the light doesn't go down till very late at night. You know, it's almost year round. And there might be a party that night. As an example, we did it on previous projects. We would have a jazz party on a floating ice sheet in the middle of the Arctic, where we took the Zodiacs and landed on this ice sheet. And all of that happens in one day. And in this scenario, I'm only describing 3 to 5% of the amenities on board.
Sounds incredible. Okay, so just talk to me again. We touched on it earlier about building and the process and where you are in the process. And you've got some news that you have just announced. So tell me more about that.
Yeah, well, we've met a major milestone. We've officially ordered the vessel for construction. This was a very big milestone to get to. So we've now gone from first developing the vision and the concept, then developing all the marketing tools. And we've been to probably over 30 destinations in the last 2 years, unveiling the project by invitation only, bespoke events, giving people a taste of what's to come. At the same time, we've done very detailed engineering. The vessel is essentially almost completely designed. The area that still seeks a lot of development is our common areas, the restaurants on board, you know, the sports facilities, the medical, the wellness. There's still ongoing development there. All the residences are already designed out and developed, and we've been showcasing that. But the more important thing is we now have about 4 or 5 months of further engineering and development with the yard and construction. Although we've ordered the vessel officially as of 2 weeks ago, we will go into construction in late October of this year with a delivery scheduled 54 months later. So latest we get delivered is in Q3 31, but earliest will be at the beginning of Q2 31. So that is our delivery schedule for the vessel to date.
Great. So you have made an announcement that you are you've moved your planned German construction to China. So what drove you to this decision? Why China?
Thank you for the question. You know, for us, it was a very careful consideration.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I will say is our relationship to Meyer Werft in Germany has always been outstanding, excellent, and we have a wonderful relationship to them. Our reasoning had nothing to do with performance. I've known the family there for many years. I know many of the people there for there. We had an excellent relationship. It was purely commercial and the ability to build more vessels in the future that drove our decision. And a third component, if anybody hasn't traveled to China in recent years, it is at this stage, it is very impressive to see what they've done there. 20 years ago, China had 12% of the world's shipbuilding industry. Today, it's 56%. They have invested billions in billion in some of the most high-tech, sophisticated yards in the world. China Merchants in particular, just outside Shanghai, the yard we've selected, has one of the most modern and capable yards, and we benefit from several technologies here. Their use of robotics, the use of advanced cutting and laser cutting, the fact that not only have they built many expeditionary ships and very complex passenger vessels, but they've also built some of the most complex offshore vessels. Why is that important? Because some of the complex offshore vessels, from a construction point of view, the superstructure, they are way more complicated to design and develop than any yacht or cruise ship is. We will benefit from that inherent technology. Where China admitted that they are still behind is in the quality of the fit and finish of the final outfitting.
Okay, so how are you going to combat that then? So
we combine the best of both worlds. We combined China's investment in the future, high-tech engineering, high-tech construction methodology with European craftsmanship and heritage. So all the outfitting companies, our designers, we have some of the world's most iconic designers from Espen on down that are involved in our project. And all the outfitting companies represent the very best outfitting companies Europe has to offer that work for the top super yacht builders of the world are a part of our project. So all the interior outfitting, all the fit and finish will be done in Europe and installed in China, whereas the superstructure and all the engineering, none of the specifications moving from Germany to China changed. And in fact, in several areas, we're upgrading those specifications by putting full fairing on the vessel. Before, we were not going to fair out the hull. We're going to fair out the hull in this situation. That's an upgrade. We will, China's advancement in battery and solar is leading the world. So in order for us to minimize carbon footprint, to have as sustainable as possible environment, we are working on technologies to lower that fuel consumption as much as possible. And we are using an all-of-the-above strategy by using green methanol as primary fuel source. We have a large component of solar, battery technology, hybrid technology, and heat recovery systems in which at delivery, if we're not at our size and scale, the lowest emission vessel in the world at our size, we certainly will be in the top three or four. And that's our commitment.
Okay.
So on that note, this came as a real bonus. It wasn't the main driver, but it was almost what took it over the finish line. In Europe, all the major yacht builders finish the vessels. The final outfitting is done indoors under climate control. This is to ensure when you're doing advanced joinery and all of that, that you're doing it at a consistent climate, that you get the absolute perfect thing. In the large shipbuilders of Europe, that facility does not exist. Most of the, in fact, all of them do the final outfitting. That means in the final 12 months, the vessel is floated out and the outfitting gets done in the elements.
Okay.
Right? No matter what, rain or shine, cold or hot, you do it.
Mm-hmm.
China Merchants have also done, as part of us committing to them, their commitment back to us, which was a request of Espen to the yard, they will invest a sizable amount and are building a final outfitting hall under full climate control that can accommodate vessels of up to 350 meters. Currently in Europe, I believe that's only possible up to about 180 meters. I might be wrong on the number there, but it's somewhere in the 180 to 200 meters. But we are 323 meters. So they will be able to accommodate vessels of up to 350 meters. That will make them the first of their kind anywhere in the world. And the beneficiaries will be all our outfitting companies that we can be assured that when they come in to do final installation, it will be the same environment that they would be accustomed to in the finest yacht builders. It's not just down to one. It's the very best, you know, group of individuals and companies from all over the world. If we want to build the finest residential yacht community ever constructed, we have to surround ourselves with the very best partners from around the world.
Coming back to the sustainability, because you said that you've got big plans for that. Is the technology there yet, or is it something that you are going to have to develop to get the yacht to that standard?
You know, a lot of the technology is there, and some of the technology is advancing. The technology that is there that could solve all these problems is unfortunately not deployable in civilian use currently. The big one that people talk about is nuclear. Unfortunately, that would solve the ultimate thing because you would not have to refuel for 30 to 40 years. But the problem is not that the technology is not available. It's the regulation around doing such a thing. So that is off the table right now. But there are other great breakthroughs in propulsion and energy production that we are exploring. As long as we don't want to be the guinea pig, but at the same time, we're willing to put that into motion before more established companies would want to take that risk. So that's why a cruise company is more hesitant to come in and put some of those technologies on board because they have a whole fleet to take care of. If we're going to have this opportunity to build a generational project, we're actually looking at everything. Sustainability in the materials we use, the ability to use systems that that are energy efficient, AI, a large use of AI on board monitoring the systems, having optimal climate control. Also, when people are not in on board, the climate readjusts so that you're not overly cooling or overly heating areas. We have a lot of technology that will be deployed on board. But what I will tell you, if somebody says at our scale, at 100,000 gross tons, that you can be carbon neutral, that is not possible. We are not carbon neutral. We're trying to get there. Our holy grail would be, could we be on just electric power for 4 days? That would be our holy grail. And currently, we are about a half a day. So that just shows you we have a long way to go, right? But what is interesting is we are way further ahead than most other vessels. Like, we will be one of the lowest emission vessels and lowest fuel consumption vessels at our scale by the time we deliver.
Okay, yeah. Okay, you know, the yachting industry is still figuring out there isn't a holy grail. The only thing is nuclear. And also there's infrastructure problems with alternative methods as well, like hydrogen and...
Yeah, even green methanol for us. Even though green methanol is a very good, very low emission fuel, and it's green methanol, so it's a sustainable fuel. The problem with that is it's not widely distributed. And we are a global traveling vessel. So that's why we also need hybrid engines. We also need to be able to switch between green methanol and marine gas oil. Right now, I believe green methanol is deployed around 12% of around the world available, but hopefully it's around 40-50% at delivery. So it'll only get better, but I don't think it will be 100% available even when we deliver. But one thing we are going to do is our vessel is built in such a way that as technology improves, even after delivery, we're able to retrofit the vessel and use alternative systems as well. So we are building her future-proof so that if even what we've designed today changes in the next 3-4 years, we can change that.
And you'll commit to that, will you?
100%, because there's two sides to it. We're doing it because we wanted to do it anyway. We want to work in a world, we want to leave where we went better than what we found it.
Mm-hmm.
This is our credo in the company. You know, we want to go to very sensitive parts of the world. We want to travel to the Arctic. We want to travel to the Northwest Passage. We want to go to Galapagos. We want to go to these highly sensitive regions of the world. And so our commitment is through that sustainability effort and the green technology, also our philanthropy, which will be monitored by a third party. So not by us, so that we will prove that we are as sustainable as we say we are. And we will prove the kind of philanthropy, the amount of giving we do around the world for projects, for you know, community outreach, for marine conservation. We have a big commitment to that.
And what is the sort of idea, Alicia, is the sort of idea that people either immediately fall in love with or just instantly dismiss as impossible? So when someone tells you this will never work, what's your response?
Always being the gentleman and the diplomat here, you know. I will say on a personal level, the way to get my motor running is to tell me it cannot be done. I have an innate drive to prove the naysayers wrong. But what I will say is we are not a concept. We're not coming out with something new. We're coming out with something better, meaning it has already been proven. The world is very successful today. In fact, the world, you know, prices on board have on a depreciating asset have appreciated over 300% since launch.
No one.
On the world, currently, they're fully sold out after 24 years, and there's a long wait list to buy on board. That speaks to that company and the great strides that they made. We see on the demand that it's there. So, there are some people where it's just not going to be for them. We do meet people that say, you know, I just want my private yacht. I want to be by myself. I want to have my yacht. And that's fine. That's why that industry is a huge, incredible industry. And there's lots of choice out there. But as I said, I do believe we've covered this unique gap where you want that yachting lifestyle. You want that kind of yacht experience without the hassle of ownership. Because all of those things get taken care of, the logistics, the itinerary, all the onboard amenities, everything is there. You just need to show up. You need to wear your sunglasses and your small handbag. Everything else, when you arrive on board, your favorite flowers are already upon arrival in your apartment. Your favorite food and drinks are all in your refrigerator. The crew and people all know your preferences. Everything you want is already on board when you arrive on board, which we hassle-free travel. And the other thing that I do want to say, Lucy, is very important is that I meet a lot of yacht owners that buy those yachts and they are capable of traveling around the world. But it's so often I run into people, they very rarely take it out of the Med. Maybe they take it to the Caribbean and maybe they do that one or two highly adventurous things and they go off the beaten track. We do that all the time. I like to say we take you to where you wanted to take your yacht. We are constantly traveling to all the continents. We circumnavigate the globe every 2 years. So we have a healthy mix of the yachting ports of the world, the iconic cities of the world, the most remote destinations on the planet, including the expeditionary. We are on all 7 continents.
Okay, so you've got big plans and it's amazing, but what are the challenges that lie ahead? What are the things, what are going to be the things that you have to overcome to get this project on the water?
Right now, with the milestone of the vessel actually ordered, the next challenge for us is we have to execute, and there's no room for error. The clientele we serve, they've worked very hard. They have a high expectation. I always say whatever we promise online or on our brochures, that is the minimum expectation. We supersede that. So we now have to make sure with the partners that we had, the challenge that we face right now is we have to over-communicate with our residents, be overly transparent, work with them, constantly update them on what's going on, invite them to be part of the process, make them feel like they're part of the journey from day one, and work very closely with our partners in a team effort to bring it over the finish line. I'm not concerned once we get into operation to deliver. I've spent my whole life there. That's where our team really strives. We've actually, our whole lives, been taking vessels all around the world to all these countries constantly. That's our wheelhouse. So that's going to be the final relief when we get to the day that we set sail. There, I promise the residents are going to be blown away with the lifestyle that is to come. They cannot imagine what is to come. But right now, the focus, we have to have 2 feet solidly on the ground with a very clear focus on executing flawlessly on this project.
And you said a little hint earlier. You said that one of the reasons you chose China Merchants was for future projects.
Yes.
You planned another one.
Well, I just want to say that the demand is more than enough for us to easily go into a second. We don't want to confuse the market that says, oh, we're definitely going to do the second, because then we get into the world of, well, maybe I'll wait for the second. You know, we want people to realize that the first will be exceptional, but there is capability for us to certainly build a second. And there is also capability for us to build another version of this, maybe at a different size, you know, meaning that this is the ultimate for us. I wanted to set the sail. I'm very competitive. I do pay attention to many projects around the world because you can always learn. You know, to think that we know everything, that would be really largely egotistical. No, I'm constantly surprised by what people are doing in all industries. And we're constantly looking. But I actually want to be, our company wants to be the benchmark. We want to set a standard here. So Ulyssia is our standard bearer. That will be the flagship. But there is an ability for us, like Ulyssia has sizes from 1,200 square feet to 17,000, with the average being close to 3,000 square feet. There is a market also for us to maybe look at something that goes from 800 to 2,000 square feet. That is a price point, because we started 10 million with the average price being around 24 million. But even our penthouses are selling in the 60 to 100 million range. Whereas another class of vessel, we could maybe fill a niche that is from 8 million to 30 million, which is an audience that is, you know, 30 times bigger than our current audience. What I will say is I only want to work at the ultra luxury level. I've lived my whole life in that world. It comes with a lot of pressure and a lot of challenge, but we want that. You know, if we want to be in the Olympics of hospitality, we've got to constantly train ourselves and compete. So even if I build a different class of vessel, a different size, even there, the quality of the food and beverage, the quality of the service, the travel experience will be as high as on Ulyssia, maybe just a different space model. So that's what we also like about the selection of Yacht, because they're investing heavily on the infrastructure. We have a lot of options with them to grow this segment to more residential vessels, because I've been following this market for the last 15 years, and we see that it's not a question of if, but when. You may observe that companies like Four Seasons, Ritz-Carlton, Aman have all joined the cruise industry. Well, what I can tell you, what those companies all share in common is very large residential portfolios and a very large following. It would not surprise me. I'm in fact, indirectly, I know that one of them and of those three is definitely planning on becoming residential in the future. But it would not surprise me if all three of them at some point decide to then start to develop residential vessels.
Interesting. Yes. So it's a burgeoning space. And we've had our Super Yacht Design Festival. We had a Gen Z consultant come on who talked about the sort of next generation and how they are even more sort of, you know, interested in experiences, which is what, you know, Ulyssia offers. And also that no hassle sort of model of ownership is very attractive to that generation. So I can see, yes, you're traveling in a direction that, yeah, I can see it only growing.
In fact, Lucy, one thing to point out is land-based is about 15 years ahead of the marine industry when it comes to community living. If you look today, I mean, the US has been like that for many more years, but even in Europe, you see it now happening, and even in Asia. What I mean by that is you've got these private clubs. So for example, in Florida, we have like Fisher Island, or we've got Jupiter Island Club, or we've got Montana, the Yellowstone Club. What is that? It's a community, a private community that has all these amenities, including medical and health and wellness. And it's a community. Now imagine we are exactly that, except we're constantly traveling the globe. So it's just bringing what's already been on land.
Very true. Okay. So the yacht will be delivered in 2031. So what is the moment you're most looking forward to on a maiden voyage?
I think there are three things that I look forward to. I look for that day, you know, with all those efforts, the day, like we plan on doing the maiden voyage out of Monaco. We have a lot of support from that destination. A lot of announcements will be made at the Monaco Yacht Show in relation to that. But I look forward to seeing the faces of our residents when they first board the vessel, to see the expression on their face when they come on board. I also look forward to see the crew when they first join the vessel, to see how much we've improved life on board for crew members, facilities, crew welfare, amenities. I look forward to that day. And also to the people, the builders, all of these people that were involved from the day we were sketching with Espen on a piece of paper and just doing the rough sketch, to all those many, many hundreds and hundreds of meetings and challenges that had to be overcome and solutions and everything, and finally seeing it come to fruition, and that celebration we have with all our partners and the engineers and everything. So,
and how will you celebrate?
We are going to celebrate very hard. And for quite a few days. That is why we plan on being in Monaco for many days, like probably 7 to 10 days before we set sail. There'll be a series of events and celebrations. And I think we'll also take a step back, the original founders, and you know, maybe indulge in a nice glass of champagne, potentially have a cigar and go, we actually did it. You know, I think it'll be an enormous relief. And maybe for the first time, a great night's sleep with many hours of sleep and just taking a deep breath. You know, I think that is to come. But a lot of work between now and then, I will have to say.
But if I know yachting, you'll be on to your next project by then anyway.
Yeah, we cannot help ourselves.
Thank you so much, Alan. That's been brilliant speaking to you. Thank you.
And thank you, Lucy, as well. And also thank you for Boat International as well. I know you've been, incredible supporters of ours as well. But also, you know, you got such a respect by the industry. You know, people really value what is written there. We've also valued the trust there because, you know, you really speak to our credentials that are in the yachting side of the world, that we will deliver to the level that we say it's going to be. And we really want to be an innovator, and we really want to be, you know, at the end of the day, what's more important than creating jobs, you know?
Thank you, Alan. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Lucy. Have a wonderful day ahead.
Thanks again, Alan, for such a fascinating conversation. We'll be following Alicia's progress and future milestones closely up to her delivery in 2031 at Boat International. So please do visit bi.com for the latest updates on the project. In the meantime, thank you for listening to this episode of the Big Boat Interview. If you enjoyed the conversation, please do subscribe and share, and we'll see you next time.